You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We've got a lot of great topics to cover today. Very quickly, during the first hour, we will be talking first with Dr. Michael Chopp about Viagra and its effect on the brain. Is it good for the brain? Then we will move on to discuss ephedrine and does it damage the heart, especially when taken in conjunction with nicotine and caffeine. Then we will move from there to discuss the fact that women who think they are physically active still are sitting too much, but they don't think so. And then lastly, we will move on and talk about how shift work potentially causes cancer in those who are shift workers. So let's get right to the important topics. Welcome to the show, Dr. Michael Chopp.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Okay, so let's discuss the study that your group has been involved with, using Viagra to enhance the neurogenesis of the ischemic brain. Explain first what this is, what ischemia of the brain is, to the audience.
Okay. First, in terms of what ischemia means. Ischemia means that you have a reduced blood supply. When you have a stroke, for instance, there are two aspects of the ischemia. You can have an ischemic stroke, which means there's a clot that somehow is present in the blood vessel that blocks blood flow, or you can have a hemorrhagic stroke. That means you have a vessel that bursts and the blood doesn't flow through the vessel, it goes into the tissue.
Right.
So ischemia means reduced blood flow or no blood flow or low blood flow.
Okay.
And we've used these types of treatments not only for ischemia, for stroke, but neural injury to the brain, traumatic brain injury, and also for neurodegenerative disease.
Okay. Now, where does Viagra come in? What is the mechanism of action? I think I know it, but let's talk about it.
Okay. What Viagra is, and there's an interesting history in how it was found, it's really a drug that secondarily became a drug to treat erectile dysfunction. It was actually initially developed as a hypotensive drug, a drug to induce hypotension. What we've found is that Viagra, which is a phosphodiesterase 5 inhibitor, inhibits a certain key enzyme, remodels the brain, stimulates the production of new brain cells, new blood vessels, and does a lot of good stuff to the brain. If you want just a little background on that.
Well, let's talk about the nitric oxide linkage,
right,
and
exactly,
the fibroblast growth factors and VEGF and stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, okay. The way I got to Viagra was with nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is a wonderful neurotransmitter. It does extraordinary things. There was a Nobel Prize awarded for nitric oxide. And we are very interested in ways to stimulate recovery after stroke and neural injury. So we recognize that in the developing brain, in the embryonic brain, there's a lot of nitric oxide.
Mm.
And there's a lot of many enzymes like nitric oxide synthase that are involved in the developing, in the fetal brain. So years ago, we decided, hey, let's see if we have an adult, and we have an adult that has a stroke, whether in the laboratory, maybe the nitric oxide plays an important role in stimulating recovery, the way it remodels, the way it models the brain in the developing, in the fetus. So what we did was we gave, in the laboratory, we administered drugs that are called nitric oxide donors. And that means we induced a stroke, We induced the trauma. We then waited for days, 24 hours or a week later. We then treated the subject with a nitric oxide donor, and the subjects got much better. Their neurological function improved. In order to understand that, we had to delve deep at a deeper molecular level, and we realized that nitric oxide, if you look at the chemical pathways, nitric oxide stimulates a very important signaling molecule called cyclic GMP, cyclic guanosine monophosphate. And that signaling molecule could turn on, can activate many processes. So to test the hypothesis that the benefit of nitric oxide donors is via cyclic GMP, we thought, well, how do we increase cyclic GMP in the brain?
Right.
So what we then did, we said, well, okay, cyclic GMP is produced in the brain, but it's broken down. Maybe we can inhibit what breaks it down, the enzyme that breaks it down, that hydrolyzes the cyclic GMP, that breaks it down. So what we realized, we found, checked in the literature, and we saw that phosphodiesterase 5 is the enzyme that breaks it down. And therefore, if you inhibit phosphodiesterase 5, you therefore cease eliminating the cyclic GMP, and you end up getting a net increase in cyclic GMP. Well, it turns out that the most prominent, widely used phosphodiesterase 5 inhibitor is sildenafil, or Viagra.
Right.
And therefore, we then treated the subjects, animals that were really subjected to stroke, with sildenafil, and we got quite remarkable therapeutic benefit.
Like how remarkable? What was seen in the subjects, and was it dose dependent?
Well, what we saw was first, what is remarkable, and I'll address your question more directly. But what is remarkable is that historically, treatment of stroke has focused on the very immediate acute treatment.
Mm-hmm.
The focus historically has been to reduce the volume, the lesion volume, the damage.
Right.
Our approach has been, let's focus on the intact tissue. Let's see if we can treat the intact tissue, give increased cyclic GMP to remodel the brain, to compensate
mm-hmm.
for the damage. So forget about the lesion. Let's stimulate this wonderful organ and turn on tissue plasticity. So what we then did is, as opposed to treatment 1, 2, or 3 hours post-stroke, we started treating 24 hours post-stroke, or 7 days post-stroke, or 30 days post-stroke, and we got improvement, substantial improvement, from 25 to 75% improvement in various neurological functions.
Now, is this a function of new neuronal sprouting kind of coming in and encroaching into the area of infarct and making it smaller, or does it just grow around and recollateralize around the damage?
Great question. The damage is the damage. The tissue is dead. You have an injury, you've cut off blood supply to the brain, you wait 24 hours, you wait a week, you're not going to bring that tissue back to life.
Okay.
It's not Lazarus. What we're doing is stimulating multiple repair processes. Essentially, what we have is a whole tapestry of recovery. We turn on a signaling molecule that turns on neurogenesis, angiogenesis, synaptogenesis, and oligodendrogenesis. Sometimes they refer to these as biblical events. These then remodel the whole the central nervous system to compensate for the injury.
Interesting. Now, there's a lot of discussion it's also important to say at this point in time, because the discussion is going to change directions a little bit, that your objective is not to be working just with these PDE5 inhibitors. You're looking for ways to repair the brain by using what the body has available endogenously. And so this is just one mechanism. This is a pharmacological approach to stimulating these changes. We're going to talk more about some other things that you're working on as well. But there's a lot of discussion within the community of regenerative medicine, they talk about switching on neonatal genes. That if we could just switch on these neonatal genes, the body goes back into the mode that it developed and it can repair. Is that occurring in the brain under the influence of the PDE5 inhibitor?
Yes. Actually, that's what got me into this business. This business, the issue, the approach of recapitulating ontogeny. I love the phrase. And we, around 20 or more years ago, we noticed that after an injury to the brain, after a stroke, we saw the upregulation of developmental genes. So the body is in some ways desperately attempting to restructure itself, not to repair the lesion, not to reduce the lesion, but to compensate for the lesion. And I think what we have to do is tap into those processes and amplify those processes. So it's not the treatment of the damage, it's the treatment of the intact tissue and tuning into inherent restorative processes, but and amplifying these processes. And there are multiple ways to do that.
Okay, and we're going to talk more about the multiple ways to do that when we come out of the break. We're talking this during this first half hour with Dr. Michael Chopp from the Department of Neurology at Henry Ford Hospital. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Ragish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today.
Usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Michael Chopp about methods of actually allowing the brain to heal itself. We know that it can do these things. Okay, Dr. Chopp, before we go further, I also want to just invoke one thing. For those out there who are listening who perhaps don't have a stroke or haven't had someone, a loved one with a stroke, a lot of this research translates to keeping the a healthy brain healthy as well, right?
Well, my interest has been with injury, injury and stroke and degenerative disease. Whether some of these approaches may be beneficial for an aged brain,
right.
I have some doubt in that, or keeping brain healthy, I honestly don't know. I simply have not done the studies.
Okay. All right, so now let's talk about some of the other modalities of getting the brain to repair itself. We talked briefly about stem cells before the show started. And I told you that I'm a big proponent of getting stem cells in the body to do what nature intended them to do, and that is repair things. So talk a little bit about that.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you. First of all, there are stem cells in the body. Every organ has their own stem cells. And what happens is, let's say, take an agent like sildenafil, Viagra. One of the things sildenafil does via this cyclic GMP is amplify the production of the endogenous stem cells.
Mm.
Now, what do these stem cells do? The endogenous stem cells are the stem cells that people use to treat disease and injury with. What they do is actually, they're catalysts. They go to regions of the tissue and they actually produce factors, they interact, they communicate with the surrounding tissue and turn on the production of very important trophic factors. Let me take that a bit further.
Sure.
Let's talk initially first about the administration of exogenous stem cells, whether you take bone marrow, cord blood, or fetal, or I don't care, whatever stem cells. What happens is the stem cells can be administered through a vascular route. The stem cells then go either to blood vessels or to tissue, but they do not in any way, at least for neurologic diseases like stroke and injury, replace dead tissue.
Mm-hmm.
They do not become new tissue.
Okay.
And that's almost a silly concept, and I could get in trouble for that, but it's true. What these cells do is act, sometimes they use the analogy, like little McKinseys. They go into the tissue. They talk to the predominant cells in the brain, which are the astrocytes. And they communicate with the astrocytes. They order them around. They're little consultants. And they tell the astrocytes to produce trophic factors like VEGF, BDNF, IGF, EGF, many Fs. And that then stimulates a whole cascade of restorative processes. So what the cells do is communicate. They act as catalysts. They turn on and amplify the endogenous restorative processes. How they do that is also a very interesting area of research that I'm pretty passionate about that we can discuss if you're interested.
Well, can you touch upon it?
Yeah. One of the things I never understood about neurologic disease and injury is that after you have any type of injury, there are multiple cascades of events occurring simultaneously. And it just, I didn't understand biologically or just how so many concurrent processes can be stimulated at the same time. And recently in 1993, there was recently a Nobel Prize administered for microRNAs.
Right.
MicroRNAs are master regulators of RNA. And what happens, you can take a little microRNA, and a little microRNA can regulate hundreds of messenger RNAs. So what we decide to look at is whether stem cells communicate with parenchymal cells by somehow releasing microRNAs, and that occurs during damage and repair. And what we found is that when you have a stem cell that enters the tissue, the stem cells send out little particles called exosomes. These are very small lipid particles. These are like little FedEx packages.
Right.
Micro FedEx packages that contain these master switches, these microRNAs. And then these little good bombs are sent out and are absorbed by the parenchymal cells, by the astrocytes and the neurons. And then these master switches then turn on many of these restorative processes. So it really is a I believe that the way stem cells work and how they manipulate and alter the environment of the central nervous system is by releasing microRNAs encapsulated in little particles called exosomes.
Interesting. Now let's jump forward for a second and talk about a different something that's on the horizon that seems to be very, very exciting, that seems to have a profound effect on ischemic events, not just on the brain, but on the heart and even other areas of the body. There's a lot of research going on about thymosin beta 4. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah. We actually published the very first work on thymosin beta 4.
Was that with the one where the subject was given a 2 milligram dose within 6 hours of the ischemic event and the collateral damage was almost mitigated completely? That one?
Well, the studies that we published was on stroke, traumatic brain injury, and multiple sclerosis. What we did was we gave that dose, but hours, 24 hours after the injury.
Uh-huh.
And what we found is it's quite a remarkable improvement in neurologic function. And that also, we demonstrated that similarly to what we see with Viagra, that stimulates possibly via microRNAs, and we actually have some data that
mm-hmm.
I haven't published yet, so I won't talk about
mm-hmm.
it. That stimulates many restorative processes. One of the things that it does, it stimulates the production of oligodendrocytes. And oligodendrites, should I proceed with this?
Yes, please, because dendrites are very, very interesting to me as well.
Yeah, it's oligodendrocytes. We have these wires throughout the central and peripheral nervous systems called axons. And there are also connections called dendrites. For axons to work properly, they have to be essentially laminated, but they have to have the proper insulation. They have to have myelin sheaths
right.
on them. And the cells that coat the axons with myelin are called oligodendrocytes. And what happens after you have an injury such as stroke or traumatic brain injury or multiple sclerosis is that there's a loss or a degradation of the myelin sheath,
mm-hmm.
and that subsequently causes damage to the axons. What we find is that certain restorative agents can amplify, can increase, enhance the production of oligodendrocytes, and that promotes the remyelination of axons and therefore contributes to improvement of neurologic function. And the things like substances like thymosin beta 4 that I really like because it's also in clinical use for myocardial infarction, or it's being tested
right,
for myocardial
right.
infarction, is also it's produced in the thymus, turns on oligodendrogenesis. It also turns on neurogenesis and angiogenesis. So it turns on these multiple restorative processes. So TB4, I think, is something that's really worthy of investigation.
We have about 5.5 minutes left in the interview. Can you just touch briefly on the prophylactic effects of hormones that seem to drop as we age, unfortunately, like estradiol and their ability to protect the brain from infarcts and stuff like that?
Yeah, there's been a lot of literature on that, and there's also literature in trying to understand why females, when they're premenopausal, actually if they get an injury to the brain or a stroke, tend to be tend to do better. And so it's been some of this neuroprotection has been attributed to hormonal levels. There's also there's a clinical trial now using progesterone for the treatment of traumatic brain injury. Don Stein is running that in Atlanta at Emory. So there is an interest. There's a long history on looking at these hormones to protect brain. I think the data looks interesting. It's not definitive in terms of its effect. And again, that's an area of neuroprotection. What we were discussing before primarily is neurorestoration. But definitely agents like certain hormones may have an impact on neuroprotection. But whether it does, there's still more work that has to be done.
Okay, so in the area of work that you are doing your research in, do you see a time in the future where the collateral damage to the brain from a stroke, for instance, or a traumatic head injury in a car accident or something, can actually be resolved to a great degree by increasing neuroplasticity and doing these things that make the brain kind of heal itself and work around the damage to where a person can actually get back to a almost normal way of life?
We've demonstrated that clearly in the laboratory, even with very aged animals. The brain is the most plastic of organs, and it's been underappreciated. Historically, we've been told, anyone who's gone to medical school or grad school says, well, you don't have any more neurons. You know, you have a fixed number of neurons by the time you're a teenager. It's not true. There are enormous vital changes that go on throughout the entire central nervous system throughout life. And by amplifying these processes, we can greatly impact neurological outcome. And let me just give you a little trivia, something that tickles to me. It may not be trivia. If you have an injury to the brain and you look at the spinal cord, there's neurite outgrowth in the spinal cord.
Wow.
And if you treat with a restorative agent, whether it's a cell-based therapy or some of these other restorative agents, you greatly enhance the neurite outgrowth in this cord. And no one has looked at the spinal cord plasticity. The entire central nervous system communicates with itself. We've shown that the plasticity in the spinal cord that is induced in response to a restorative treatment correlates beautifully, drives motor neurological recovery. So one has to be aware that the central nervous system is quite miraculous, even into very old age. We simply have to dissect and understand the ways to amplify what's already there. And I'm very optimistic that we're really on our way. There are a number of clinical trials being planned or in place that are now focused on neurorestoration. Historically, it's been neuroprotection. That has been somewhat abysmal in its clinical impact.
Right.
At least for stroke, we only have the thrombolytic approach, opening the clot. And it's very difficult to bring tissue on the way to death back to life. But what you can do is amplify what's already occurring. Again, the injured tissue, the intact tissue, responds to an injury by, in some ways, turning on developmental processes, and we can amplify those processes and augment them.
Okay, last question, and we literally have a minute for it. So is it safe to assume that some of this benefit from Viagra, which is a class of drugs, as you point out, phosphodiesterase 5 inhibitors, is all those drugs within that category, say like Cialis, which is tadalafil, I think, do they all have this potential?
Yeah, we've actually tested them in the laboratory and showed that the phosphodiesterase 5 inhibitor is, whether it's tadalafil or sildenafil, any fills you want, seem to do the same thing.
Okay. Listen, Dr. Chop, it's been wonderful having you. I could have filled the hour interviewing you. I'm being sincere. I think you're brilliant. I think the work that you're doing. My mom had a stroke. This is really noble work that you're doing, giving
Thank
people
you.
Back their lives. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. It's my pleasure.
Okay. All right. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Anna Grippo on. We're going to talk about, does ephedrine damage the heart? You need to be aware of this before you start using this stuff. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
She know I'm real. Hey, I said, hey. Shorty, she was checking up on me. From the game she was spitting in my ear, you would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to AgeForce. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new AgeForce 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce multivitamin patch banner ad today. Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies, mamas, mamas. Mamas, mamas.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
Baby mama.
You know, a lot
mamas.
Of people are still using ephedrine
like
out there. The pre-workout supplement as a diet aid. My next guest, Dr. Anne Grippo, Associate Professor of Biological Sciences at Arkansas State University, is joining us to talk about ephedrine, and especially when taken in combination with caffeine and nicotine. How you doing, Dr. Grippo?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Okay, so first of all, what made you want to look into this?
My colleague, who I work with from the pharmacy, College of Pharmacy at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, has been studying herbal supplements for quite some time.
Okay.
He actually developed some analytical techniques to analyze supplements for ephedrine and other ephedrine-like substances in some of the supplements that were being sold. And he and his colleagues were studying their effects on blood pressure and heart rate in rats.
Right.
While he was doing that study, he had a friend who was taking ephedrine, or I believe one of the dietary supplements, and took tobacco at the same time and found that his felt his heart rate shot up significantly,
right,
just in passing. So we decided that that might be an interesting thing to look at and consider the effects of nicotine in combination with ephedrine and those types of dietary.
Well, especially since people who are dieting tend to smoke because of its effect on satiety.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're starving themselves. They're exercising probably to some degree. They're using these weight loss over-the-counter products. And then they're smoking tons of cigarettes to stave off hunger.
Right.
Good, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, in the other way to look at that too is people who try to stop smoking using a nicotine patch, start gaining weight, might also be taking these dietary supplements to try to lose weight at the same time.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about the research. So what did you learn?
So we used rats as a model, and we were using Metabolife as kind of our general type of supplement that we monitored against.
Okay.
So we took our Metabolife, we analyzed it for how much ephedrine was in there as well as how much caffeine was in there, and then we dosed some rats with a full, what we used an extraction procedure to take the alkaloids out of the caplet.
Right.
And then dosed some animals with a single caplet's dose worth of the alkaloids that were in there. We gave other animals half that dose. We gave other animals just the amount of ephedrine and caffeine individually, so not from the Metabolife capsule, which
right,
might have had other alkaloids in it as well.
Right.
And then others with just caffeine or just ephedra. Now, some of our rats were dosed with saline,
okay,
that they had in their system over the course of about a week before we gave them the supplements.
Mm-hmm.
Others were pre-dosed with nicotine for about a week before we gave them
the saline. Supplement. Created the control, in other words, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what did you discover? Let's look at the ephedrine alkaloids themselves, both in the capsule rendered version as well as the isolated. What did you find out about that?
So in general, what we saw, so what we analyzed for in this study was we took, after the rats were sacrificed, we took the hearts out and looked at them under scanning electron microscopy as
mm-hmm.
well as general histological procedures. We looked at the sizes, the general morphology of the heart, just general shape, size, different areas and regions, and really didn't find much change, regardless of what the animals were dosed with.
Right.
However, animals that had the nicotine first and then were dosed with both ephedra and caffeine showed some what we called atypical non-cardiac cells, which we believe have to do with inflammatory response, cells that came in due to inflammation. That we believe is probably the beginning of an inflammatory issue in those cells. Those seem to be in the ventricles of the heart, and intraventricular septum seem to be the most susceptible. And, of course, the ventricle is the part of the heart that's going to pump out to the body, so that becomes really an issue.
An issue, sure. Now, okay, good, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, when we gave just the ephedra alone or just the caffeine alone, we didn't see those types of responses at all. And especially one of the things that stood out to us was that the dual agent, the metabolite agent, seemed to be the most harmful.
So there's something else going on in the metabolite product.
Apparently, yeah. And you know that there's a lot of other, you know, molecules in there, other things. I mean, that's pretty much an ephedra, you know, ephedra supplement itself without not necessarily just the individual agent.
So. Now, I was making notes. Did you, what happened with the ephedra plus caffeine group without the nicotine? They were fine, you said?
We didn't see as much of problems with those. I'm trying to, I believe we had a little bit of increase. I'm trying to remember exactly which animals had which, but we really didn't see much. I mean, there were some individual animals that had some individual, you know, like every animal's different, every human's different,
right.
So there were some issues, you know.
Okay. So these non-typical cells that you saw in these hearts where both the nicotine, caffeine, and ephedrine were administered to these rats.
Yes.
Are these cells that indicate the beginning of a pathology? Is this something that, well, we see this when we see, you know, the hypertrophic effects of, you know, of increased pressure or anything like that?
So that's our estimation, and also based on previous literature, others who have done similar studies using perhaps different strains of rats and different dosing regimens have taken their cells and treated and looked at them more extensively, you know, with respect to different types of analyses. And what they have seen is that they've seen them as either apoptotic or pre-apoptotic, so those cells are destined to die. So we used a relatively short dosage regimen. It was relatively high dose for a rat, but it was a short dosage regimen compared to what other people have studied done in the past. So we feel like if we had been able to carry that on further and done those analyses like the others have, that probably we may have seen something along those lines.
Okay, we have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I have lots more questions for you. We're talking with Dr. Anne Grippo, and she is Associate Professor of Biological Sciences at Arkansas State University. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We will be right back.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEY NaturalUSA.com.
Never before in the history of Muscle Gauge Nutrition have they ever been so generous. And this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gauge Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to Age Force. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new Age Force 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force multivitamin patch banner ad today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Ann Grippo about the combined effects of evergreen, caffeine, and nicotine on the heart. So, Dr. Grippo, it's well known that stimulants like caffeine, nicotine, and even evergreen have an effect on the, they stimulate the calcium channel of the heart. They cause the heart to pump, stroke harder, if you will. Are some of these effects, the inflammation that may be indicative here, are they solely a result of the increased mechanical output of the heart, or is there something else going on from these compounds? Are they somehow limiting oxygen to the heart as well?
We didn't look that closely at the exact mechanism by which that was occurring. Our contention, based on what we saw, was just that the tissue was atypical. And so probably we've gone beyond that point at this point. Once you have an inflammatory response starting at that area, then you've gone, you know, you probably have damaged some of the tissue by whatever means and called in those mononuclear leukocytes and such that are going to be important to fixing that. So whether it began with, you know, there are people who have, you know, other scientists who have studied the ephedrine similarly in rats as we have and have actually seen myocardial infarction in rats. We didn't test for that. And we did have some animals who succumbed before we could finish our study. But we just looked at their hearts the same way that we looked at the others without trying to figure out what the mechanism was behind their death.
Because I remember when we spoke the other day, I had to go dig up a couple studies that I remembered reading back in 2008 as it related to a beta adrenergic agonist that is used in medicine called clenbuterol.
Yes.
And I misspoke when we were on the phone the other day. I thought that clenbuterol actually caused apoptosis, but in fact, it seems to protect against apoptosis during ischemia reperfusion. And I'm thinking, isn't both nicotine and ephedrine, in some way, beta adrenergic, similar to clenbuterol in the way it works, or am I wrong on that?
So ephedrine has two ways that it can affect the heart with respect to adrenergicity. So itself can bind to adrenergic receptors and cause just heart stimulation. In addition, it can affect the adrenal gland to release norepinephrine and epinephrine, mm-hmm. which act naturally. So it kind of is a double whammy. Nicotine itself, as you know, is going to replace acetylcholine, so it can also have some, apparently has effects in both stimulating and reducing heart rate, depending on how, you know, individuals and which receptors are interacted with and that sort of thing. So we were looking at and considered that the both of those stimulants or both of those molecules may at some time act as stimulants and have a synergistic effect on the heart.
Okay. What do you hope people take away from your research? Obviously, there's got to be a message here, and it's an important one, that if you are using ephedrine, because, you know, in this day and age, a lot of people are still using ephedrine as a pre-workout supplement, as a weight loss supplement. They're buying it now online in the way of a bronchial dilator drug, you know, but mm-hmm. but available over the counter. I remember right. when I was a kid, I want to say there was Bronchitine or something like that that kids would buy to keep them up while they studied. And what would you say to people who are using these types of agents for ergogenic or dietary effects, and also consuming caffeine with it, whether it be coffee or caffeine anhydrous, and smoking or smoking cigarettes?
So from our basic study, what we saw with respect to these myocardial changes, and we were also monitoring blood pressure and heart rate and EKG at the time mm-hmm. we were doing these studies, and we haven't published that data yet. The ephedra alone, if you were taking only ephedra, nothing else but pure ephedra, did not seem to really have an effect on these particular rats that we studied. Once the caffeine was added, and certainly once the nicotine was added, that seemed to have a huge effect compared to any of, you know, the caffeine on by itself, or the nicotine by itself, or the ephedrine by itself. So any of those combinations seem to be quite dangerous. You know, also I have to say, as everybody knows, that people are different. They have different genetic makeups. Some people may not be affected by some of these agents, but you know what? I wouldn't want to find out the hard way that I was affected. And as I said, we didn't dose for all that long. Some of our rats died after the initial dose of metabolite.
Really?
And yes. We had, I think, one or two rats. We had, out of 68 rats that we studied, we had 6 early deaths, meaning that they died right before we could sacrifice them after 3 doses of our agents. And every one of those that died was dosed with metabolite, not the ephedra alone, not the caffeine.
See, there's
alone.
Something else, and this is what happens with the supplement manufacturers, right? They use agents that amplify the effects mm-hmm. of some of these ingredients. And also not only amplify the effects, but prolong their presence in the bloodstream. I remember I'm going to forget what it is now, but it'll come to me in a second, probably after we finish the interview. But I remember mm-hmm. when they started adding a certain agent to caffeine pills, the caffeine stays in circulation far mm-hmm. longer than if, you know, it actually binds to the receptors responsible in the liver to get their caffeine out. So what happens mm-hmm. is these companies go, look, we've got this great agent here. It has this effect. How do we amplify the effect so it's 5 times greater? And then how do we prolong the effect so the person only has to take one of these a day, and they're really getting their money's worth? And unfortunately, when they work on perfecting the product to this degree, they end up creating something that really is not complementary to the body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Quercetin. I couldn't think of it. Quercetin will keep caffeine
sure.
in the bloodstream longer. So they. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Phytoestrogen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, just if people are taking even the more natural forms of these agents, like if they're taking, trying to eat an ephedra leaf or something like that, there's a lot of stuff in there, you know, that you have no control over. Even though it's natural and even though it's, you know, from the plant itself, that doesn't mean that there's not other stuff in there that can be harmful and perhaps even more harmful than if you were taking, say, you know, pseudoephedrine or something like that that's been synthetically derived.
Yeah.
So
I agree. Okay, so what's next for your group? So you're looking at other data that you received from this blood pressure and pulse, heart rhythm, you said? Is that right?
Yes. Yes, and actually we did some studies also where we compared males versus female rats, and we actually found female rats to be more susceptible.
Really?
Yeah, this was not caffeine related. This was just the ephedra and nicotine, and we didn't have caffeine in the mix in that, in those studies. And so those, you know, that's something else that we're going to want to look at. But, we actually saw some, sensitivity with respect to EKG values that we saw, in female rats that were more susceptible than male rats. And that was with nicotine and ephedra, but also we saw some EKG differences just with saline and ephedra in females, not in males.
So the takeaway from that is that the women would respond differently,
possibly
they respond to a greater degree to the stimulatory effects of these agents.
Yes, yes. And so specifically what we saw was a QT depolarization time, QT segment.
Right.
And this was just a small study, and so, you know, you don't want to try to, you know,
take
say anything
much,
with
right.
respect to human health, right?
Right.
But it, you know, if that's going to, if there are people who are genetically predisposed to have problems, then you want to know that ahead of time before you take some of these agents.
No, I agree. I agree. Good stuff you're working on here, and I want to thank you so much for taking time to come on Superhuman Radio to talk to our audience about it.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Okay,
glad that you're interested. Thank you.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we will have Dr. Lynette Kraft on, and we're going to talk about women who think that they are physically active. Are they really physically active? I think you're going to find out that quite often they're not as physically active as they think they are. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Are you hanging
on the edge of your seat? Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See Eye Drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See Eye Drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Regish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, my next guest is Dr. Lynette Kraft. She's the adjunct assistant professor in preventive medicine at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. How you doing, Dr. Kraft?
I'm fine, thanks.
Okay. First of all, I want to tell you that Superhuman Radio is a standing-friendly workplace. We are huge proponents of standing while you work here. So, and this kind of plays into the discussion we're going to be having. Even physically active women sit too much. Talk about this.
Yes, yeah, so this was the finding of a recent research study that we conducted. You know, we are very curious. There's a lot of information coming out to suggest that sitting for extended periods of time is very bad for your health. And this is bad for your health in spite of or after controlling for the time that you spend physically active. So we're quite curious to look to see, well, so for people who are already engaging in regular exercise, what do their sitting habits look like? And what we found was that among women, even women who were meeting the current physical activity recommendations, women who were doing at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity or more per week, were still sitting just as much as women who weren't doing any physical activity.
Wow.
So this is really important. Sitting appears to be a very different behavior from physical activity, and it appears to be a behavior that we need to pay attention to, even if we're regularly exercising.
Yeah, because what we've actually talked about this on previous shows, that sitting for prolonged periods of time can actually negate what you think you're getting out of your exercise routine, especially for people like myself. I get to the gym early in the morning and I train, but then I sit for 5 hours at the studio.
Yeah, that's right. That's what a lot of people do. You know, we think we're doing what we can for our health by getting in our 30 to 45 minutes of activity each day. And that's great. That's really important. There are lots and lots of known benefits to doing your regular physical activity. But then a lot of us go to work and we sit for the rest of the day. Or we come home from work and sit for extended periods of time in the evening. So while exercise is really important and it's good and we want everyone to do that, sitting is a different behavior, and it's a behavior that's become more and more prevalent in our society, and we're spending lots and lots of time doing it. The women in our study were sitting on average about 9 hours per day, and that's consistent with larger studies of national samples. So 9 hours a day is a lot. That's more than some people sleep. So it's a very pervasive behavior that we need to become more aware of.
I mean, you sit in your car, unless you're Fred Flintstone, and then your feet are out there and you're running with your car attached to you. You sit in your office. You come home and you get things done around the house, and then you sit and you watch the news, and then you move to the bed, and then you become completely horizontal and lay there for a while. So what can people do other than what we talk about this on the show all the time? Stand up at your desk, stand up and wave to the other people in your office, but find reasons to stand. Is simply standing more going to change this equation, or do you have to actually be active more?
Well, that's a really important and interesting question. We know from cross-sectional research, just looking observationally at people, we know that people who break up extended periods of sitting have better metabolic profiles than people who sit for extended periods of time without breaking it up. So that was the first kind of clue that there's something about breaking up the sitting time that may be important for health. And recently, just a few months ago, a group in Australia did a study looking at, okay, is it enough to stand around and move around lightly, or does it have to be stand up and, you know, move around at a moderate pace? And what they found was breaking up these prolonged periods of sitting created about a 30% reduction in the spike we see in glucose and insulin following a heavy meal.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing was it didn't matter if somebody stood up and moved around at a light intensity or if they stood up and moved around at a more moderate to vigorous intensity. Those two were equally effective. So it seems that just getting up and moving around is really important.
Okay, so I want to talk about it because we had a guest on this show who actually was involved in some of that research a while ago, and there were so many questions that I forgot to ask. Because having a 25 to 30% reduction in postprandial glucose is something that drug manufacturers aspire to try to achieve with their drugs. And if you can do it just by standing after a meal, or even standing and walking after a meal, this is an amazing, amazing thing. So, first of all, when you say breaking up the time, standing versus sitting, if you had to give someone a prescription, and I understand this is difficult because there's always emerging information and new research and new science unfolds, would you say, look, for every hour you sit, stand up for 5 minutes?
Well, you know, we don't, like you said, we don't have hard and fast data on this. The study that I just mentioned, what they did was every 20 minutes, they had folks stand up and move for 2 minutes. That was that particular study. That may be a lot, particularly in the workplace, for somebody to do feasibly, but I say at least once an hour or once a half an hour, maybe for some, once an hour is more reasonable. Can you get up and move around? Break it up to the extent that you can. It's a simple thing, for example, in the evening when you're watching a television program. A 60-minute program has about 20 minutes worth of commercials in it.
Bingo.
Can you just at least stand up during the commercial break, move around, come back, sit down, and watch your show again?
Yes, and we've talked about that on the show. Get up and stand up during the commercials, or if you really have a heroic desire, do bodyweight squats during the commercials and then sit back down and watch the rest of your show. I like that idea. Okay, we've got some good information here as far as breaking up the sitting time. Let's talk a little bit about now the after meal effect of standing. So if I have a meal, do I need to stand for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or is it a dose dependent, the longer you stand, the better you are type of a response?
You know, again, that's a great question that we just don't have the answer to. These studies are just now happening and the results are just now coming out. So again, in this study that I just mentioned from the group out of Australia, they followed folks for 7 hours after a meal and, like I said, had them stand up every 20 minutes. I don't think we're in a situation where we need to say, after you eat, you have to stand up for the next 3 hours. But I think we are in a position to say, after eating a heavy meal, can you intersperse some of that time that you're sitting with some opportunities for standing and light activity? You know, you mentioned before that this large reduction in the glucose and insulin spike that we see is something drug companies would aspire to. You know, in that particular study, they basically found that the reduction that we see with standing is almost equivalent to the reduction we would see with 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity.
Right.
So it's quite large. So I think, you know, something as simple as standing up periodically can be very powerful. Particularly, I think, in the evening, a lot of us come home and maybe dinner is our largest meal, and then we sit on the couch and watch TV or play on the internet or talk on the phone and text. So can we break up some of that time with standing and light activity?
No, I'm excited about this new information. I mean, I've had suspicions about, you know, obviously, activity begets activity, so to speak. You know, the old chicken and egg discussion, you know, do we slow down because we age or do we age because we slow down? I tend to believe the latter. I believe that we age because we slow down. And if you focus on being more active, and that is simply standing more, as we can see, the benefits to health are profound. Okay, so let's go back to the research that you looked at for a second. What the women were required to keep a diary. How did you determine how much time people were sitting, standing? Did they wear some sort of monitoring device or what?
Yeah, Yeah, that's a great question. So we did actually have people keep a diary, but as you can imagine, diaries are generally fraught with error. People have a really hard time remembering what they did, estimating what they did.
Dr. Kraft, you're just too nice to say it. People lie. I didn't sit all day yesterday. I was actually dancing on the roof of the building. You know, come on.
Well, some people do misrepresent themselves because they want to look good to the researcher. That does happen. But one of the really unique and novel things about the study we did was we had an objective monitor that the participants wore. So we were able to objectively assess how much time they spent each day in different intensities of physical activity, as well as in different postures. So whether they were lying, sitting, standing and walking, or whether they were doing activity and how vigorous that activity was. So our study was one, the first study to be able to use this type of technology. And because of that, we were able to quantify activity over the entire period of the day. And one thing to keep in mind is a lot of this sitting time research has really focused on leisure time, or time outside of work. What are you doing in the evening or on the weekends? And that's very important, but for most of us, that's not the largest portion of our day. For most of us, the largest time we spend each day is at work. So with this objective monitoring device, we were able to capture the entire day and quantify what people were doing. So that, I think that was a real advantage to what we were able to accomplish with our study, and gave us a really interesting and unique tool to be able to say what women were doing and how the activity related to the inactive period.
Okay. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, I've got lots more questions. We're talking with Dr. Lynette Kraft from Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Get up. Stand up during the commercial break. We'll be right back.
Is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to AgeForce. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new AgeForce 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce multivitamin patch banner ad today. Titan Organics is a direct importer of the finest organic virgin coconut oil from pristine Philippines farmland. Their raw, organic, and kosher centrifuged coconut oil is the finest available in the world. They're so confident that you've never experienced a finer coconut oil that the first 100 Superhuman Radio listeners get a free 15-ounce jar. If you love coconut oil for cooking, skin, and hair care, or if you eat it out of the jar like Carl does, you're going to be absolutely blown away. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Titan Organics banner ad to get your free jar today. Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron
Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today, and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Get strong. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I predict someday, maybe 100 years from now, when health and longevity becomes more important than your income, the jobs that will be fought for will be jobs like landscaper and bricklayer, like our great-grandparents and grandparents did, and not the cushy job that gets you the $150,000 a year sitting at a desk, dying sooner. Anyway, what do you think, Dr. Kreft? Am I crazy?
Well, I think one thing is for sure. Activity has been engineered out of most aspects of our life. I think you're right. In the workplace, we used to do jobs that included a lot of labor, at least up and walking around, and now most of us sit at our desks. We have technology that, you know, we don't even have to walk down the hall to talk to a coworker anymore. We can send an email or we can pick up the phone. Transportation is the same way. You know, we don't walk or bike to work much anymore, or for going to the grocery store unless you live in a large city. We take cars. And leisure time is the same way. You know, we have so many sedentary options in our leisure time that physical activity isn't really a priority there either. So 100 years from now, if this trend continues, it is a little frightening to think of what might actually be happening.
Well, I can tell you what's going to happen. Have you ever seen the movie WALL-E from Pixar? You have children?
I have not seen that.
Okay. There's a movie that everybody in the field of longevity and health needs to watch, because in their desire to make a movie for children, there is some prophetic information in it, in the movie WALL-E. I'm not going to tell anybody much more than this. They, in my humble opinion, whoever wrote the script for WALL-E got it right with what human civilization is going to look like, you know, hundreds of years from now. And basically people, these little wheelchairs that everybody's going to now because they can't walk any longer, these motorized chairs, they turn them into hovercrafts, put a screen in front of it. You don't even look at people. Your camera looks at them. Their camera looks at you. You see their face on a screen. And as a result of this, evolution changes our body where our bones no longer connect to each other. So we can't even stand up on our own. If we try to stand up, we just collapse. I mean, it's a kid's movie. But I remember when I saw that, I thought, oh my God, this is what's going to happen to civilization someday if we keep going the way we're going. There's no doubt about it. And you know what else? I wrote a blog post years ago about the French paradox, and said maybe the reason that the Europeans are so much healthier than us isn't because of what they eat, but the fact that they walk to and from the restaurant.
Fascinating. I was in Paris a few years ago, and I was really struck by the people who were walking down the street eating their lunch.
Yeah.
They weren't all sitting at cafes. You know, they're very active. Europeans are very active. You go to Amsterdam, there are probably as many bicycles on the road as there are cars, if not more. And there are huge parking garages for bicycles, like we have for cars. So it's definitely a different lifestyle there, and something we can learn from, certainly. And I think part of this will involve us taking a look at our built environment and thinking about ways that we can incorporate activity so that everyone can do it and enjoy it.
But you know what? My other concern is this. The interview that I'm doing after yours, we're talking about how shift work actually causes cancer. We've talked about this so many times, but it's so important. And it's difficult because some people out there in today's economy, they have no choice. They got a job at UPS throwing packages, and their shift is, you know, from 8 8 in the evening till 4 in the morning or whatever, and that's it. They have to do that to put beanie weenies on the table. But the fact remains that I am really starting to question the real value of industrialization and what it has done to us as a civilization. We have people working at night. We have people who, to keep their jobs there. How do we influence employers to say to them, look, you will have a healthier, more productive workforce if you start letting them get up from their desk twice an hour and walk for a second around, make workplaces friendly for people to stand, make workplaces friendly for people to move, force them to. Johan Otterstrom, who lives in Sweden, sent me a picture on Facebook after we did this show the other day about standing, and he got rid of his chair. He's got an IKEA desk that comes all the way up, and he says, I'm still standing, he said, and he sent a picture of his workspace. How do we get employers to understand that this is really important, more important perhaps than whether or not you have health care?
Yeah, this is really important, and I think in some ways it's probably going to have to be incentivized so that employers really see the cost benefit from this. We know that folks who are physically active, for example, tend to have lower healthcare costs. They utilize the healthcare system less. And employers, you know, for a long time now, some of the big employers have had fitness centers and gyms at the workplace because they know there's a benefit to keeping their employers healthy. They're at work more. They're more productive when they're at work, those sorts of things. I think standing, hopefully, you know, by talking about it and really putting the research out there will get on the radar in the same way. You know, there's lots of easy adaptations that, you know, could be made to the workplace so that it is more friendly for people to stand, so that the culture encourages it. Even things like, you know, simple things. Not everyone has to have a standing workstation, but can you create a culture in your workplace where it's okay for someone to stand during a meeting if they want to stand?
Yeah.
Is it acceptable to stand while you're talking on a conference call as opposed to sitting at your desk? You know, there are just lots of different little things that people can be doing in the workplace. But I think you're right. I think it needs to come from the employer, setting a climate and a culture that appreciates the value of this and understands the value of this. And then it filters down to the employee so that they feel comfortable doing it. They feel comfortable taking a walk during work. Perhaps the landscaping around the work site is such that somebody could take a walk at lunchtime as opposed to sitting at their desk and eating their lunch. Those types of little improvements, I think, could go a really long way.
Any linkage between the where a woman was in the cycle of menopause and what her activity level was?
Well, that was really interesting. We did have both pre- and post-menopausal women in our study, and we didn't really find any differences as far as how physically active the women were or how much time they spent sitting. That didn't really seem to play in. We were very fortunate in our sample. We had a group of volunteers that ranged from women who were not exercising at all to women who were exercising at 4 and 5 times the current activity recommendation. So we had a pretty wide range of activity levels within our sample, but we didn't see any differences based on menopausal status, per se.
So when you say you had some women that were exercising 4 to 5 times the recommended ratio, are we talking about the 150 minutes a week is what is recommended, I think, isn't it, or something like that?
That's right. So the current recommendation is 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity per week. So we had women who were meeting that, but then we had women who were doing 4-plus times that. But we had women exercising 450, 500 minutes per week,
right,
and more. And even those women, this was so striking, even those women were sitting just as much as the women who weren't exercising at all.
So they go into the gym for an hour and a half a day. They're doing cardio. They're doing resistance training. But then they go to work and they go back to their lives. And you know, it's I can see how that can happen. I mean, they're just dedicating more time in the morning to their exercise routine. They're not spreading it out throughout the day.
Right. And what we find is that this kind of structured exercise, or what the public thinks of as exercise, this moderate to vigorous activity, usually is only about 2 to 5% of your day, whereas sitting is about 60% of your time each day. So I think one thing that's very important to keep in mind is that it's really unlikely that anybody's going to be able to exercise enough to replace substantial amounts of the time they spend sitting, right? We can't spend 5 hours a day doing moderate to vigorous activity. That's just not feasible for most of us, and probably for most of us, our joints would start to hurt and we get injured. But what we can do, what we do know is really important, sitting time is inversely related with light activity, this idea of standing, moving around. And if we can just replace some of the sitting with the light, we know that there are health benefits associated with that. Yeah. So I think it's just really important that we think of these as two different behaviors. We have exercise, which is important and good, and we want people to be doing that. But then we have sitting, which is something else and something that needs to be attended to as well.
Yeah. Where do you go from here? What is your group looking at now?
Well, we have a lot of, we're lucky, we have a lot of really rich data. We have blood samples on all these women, so we're going to be looking to see if things like cholesterol, lipids, fats, glucose, insulin, those sorts of things differ for women who, you know, based on how much time people were spending sitting and also in relation to their activity. We have very interesting dietary intake data. There's some thought that one reason sitting is so bad for your health is because people tend to eat high-density, you know, calorie-rich, nutrient-poor foods while they're sitting. So you're sitting in front of the TV at night and you're shoving chips and things into your face, right? Mm-hmm. So there's some thought that, well, that's why people who sit more tend to gain weight and have poor metabolic health. So we have really great diet data on all these women, so we'll be looking to see if there's any truth to that hypothesis as well. And then the group that we collaborated with down in Louisiana, they're doing a lot of interesting work, again, around lipids and fats in the blood and how sitting too much may alter the regulation of how your body handles fats.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're also looking at some really interesting stuff in the schools. You know, kids spend a lot of time each day at school sitting, and they're looking at are there interesting ways that are feasible to break up some of the sitting time in school with some light activity.
I say make them stand. I mean, they're kids. I'm serious. What was his name? Hemingway. He stood when he typed. He couldn't sit and type. He could only create when he was standing. So he would put his typewriter on his dresser, you know, and he would stand there and tap away and write some of these brilliant books that he wrote. And so, you know, but the problem is, sociologically, we look at standing as torture. Like, oh, you know, why would you, don't let that kid stand or let him sit down. It's like, no, let him stand. It's healthier. It's better. And we're designed to stand. If you look at, you know, we're also caught up in the Paleolithic style of eating. Well, there was something else our Paleolithic ancestors did too. You know, they didn't have chairs. They sat on a rock or they squatted down when they wanted to stop. But the rest of the time, they were like deer. They walked, they moved here, they moved there, they were upright until it was time to go to sleep. You don't see deer taking a couple steps, sit down, take a couple steps. No, they're moving the whole day. They call that the locomotive period for a reason, daytime. You move, but not anymore, we don't.
Yeah, that's pretty much been engineered out of our lifestyle for sure. And I think another thing I'm very curious about is mental health. You know, what is this doing to our mental health? We know that folks who are more physically active are less likely to develop things like anxiety, depression. They handle their stress better. And we know that for folks who already have those disorders, exercise can be very beneficial as a treatment. So I'm quite curious as well to hopefully investigate how does all this sitting impact our mental health?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and we talk about the sleep problems that this country has, but we know that daytime activity directly creates what is required in order to get restful sleep. So if you're sitting all day long, how can you expect to get deep sleep? You haven't given the body the signals that it wants in order to create the demand for sleep. And we know this. We've done shows on the fact that you must create sleep demand in order to get good sleep at night. And anybody who's ever worked in their backyard for, you know, an entire Saturday and you're bone tired. And guess what? You go to sleep. You sleep like a baby. You wake up in the morning. You feel fantastic. It was no accident. It was good for you. Your body's going, hey, let's do that again. I feel good now. So I think that the lack of movement that we are experiencing today is leading to a lot of problems. I commend you for the work that you're doing. I really do.
Thanks. Well, I appreciate your help in getting the message out. I mean, I think our take-home message is really keep exercising. That's great. It's really important for your health. But to the extent that you can, really try to reduce those extended periods of sitting and intersperse them with some light movement. And I think the health will follow.
There you go. And someday I envision a home without lots of comfy chairs, maybe just one or two chairs. Let's do like the Shakers do. Put the chair up on the wall when you're done. How about that one? All right, listen.
That'd be pretty radical. Right?
Yeah, wouldn't it? I know. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, take care. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Erhard House on, and we're going to talk about how shift work causes cancer. We're furthering the discussion here on Superhuman Radio. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomeres. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. As we further the discussion on impairing sleep, I cannot talk about this often enough. There are so many people who think that sleep is optional We live in a society that brags that, oh, well, I only need 4 hours of sleep a night, or I don't need any sleep at all. And it's complete and utter nonsense, and it's really leading to a lot of disease. So our discussion turns to how shift work may cause cancers with Dr. Erhard Haus. How you doing, Dr. Haus?
Fine.
Okay, so talk a little bit about your particular study. How was it designed? What did you look at?
Well, if we're looking at shift work, which is now about 20% of our working population in this country, so of tremendous impact on our working population. So actually only about 25% of our population have regular work hours during the week and during the day. And during this observation, it became obvious that the increase in breast cancer and in prostate cancer was beyond the factors that we normally know to explain increase in carcinogenesis. And so the scientific community began to look at what has changed in our surrounding. And something that has clearly changed is the way of life, is the lifestyle, and this began largely with the introduction of electricity, with the possibility of extending the activities during the day, during the night hours, and come to a 24-7 work week, which is necessary in certain areas, for example, in the health industry, where factories have to work during the night.
The shipping industry, which, you know.
Industry, right. Yes, and in numerous areas, law enforcement, etc. And this was felt to be one possible source of increased problems. Now, looking into this, we found several reasons why this could imprint on the cancer rate. And one of these factors was light by night. And the extension of the daytime activity into the night leads to suppression of sleep time, to shortening of sleep time, and to changes in the circadian periodicity. And so one thing that's characteristic with shift work is the change in circadian periodicity of the patient, of the shift worker. Now, circadian periodicity is a function that's genetically fixed. And we have our oscillators, that means molecules that have translational and transcriptional feedback loops that are set to 24-hour activity in virtually all metabolizing cells of our body. These are normally kept in step by a center in the hypothalamus, so-called suprachiasmatic nuclei,
right,
which are kept in step with our surrounding by light dark primarily and over a tract from the eye, over non-vision-related bands to the hypothalamus and from there to the endocrine and the nervous system, keeping the oscillators in peripheral tissues like liver, kidney, etc., in step. Now, if a person has to shift from the normal daytime activity to night shift, all these oscillators, molecular oscillators, which are connected by neural and endocrine functions, have to follow the shift. And this takes time. It takes about 3 to 4 days before a phase shift in a human can be recognized in the peripheral blood cells. And it takes about 11 days to adapt to a flight from the United States to Europe, which is a 6 to 7 hour time difference. In the other direction, from Europe back to the U.S., it goes faster. So a phase advance and a phase delay of the adaptation are different, which we also have to keep in mind if we talk about shift work. But this phase adaptation hits all cells of the human body and leads to a desynchronization. That means the change in the time relationship within the molecules of the oscillators, then between different oscillators of different organs, and between different organs and the hypothalamus. So there is a transient desynchronization during a phase adaptation, which a shift worker has to go through, which takes several days. Now, the time this takes is in east-west direction.
Right.
Approximately an hour a day adaptation, but in west-east adaptation, it's an hour and a half.
Huh.
92 minutes in the study, adaptation. So this makes it clear that a shift worker does not immediately adapt to a shift. And thus, when we're talking about a rotating shift, especially rapidly rotating shifts, that the shift worker has no chance at all to adapt to the work shift. So we have to realize that a shift worker on a rapidly rotating shift is forced to work at the minimum of his or her circadian rhythm of performance.
What about, Dr. House, what about when the shift worker is not on a rapidly rotating shift, but instead they're working the midnight to 8 a.m. shift for the next year?
Permanently. Approximately 8% of permanent shift workers adapt to their schedule. And about 25% adapt to the extent that it makes sense to help with the time adaptation. The remainder, even of permanent shift workers, does not adapt to the shift.
Really?
So they remain on the diurnal activity pattern, and numerous factors lead to that. So the shift worker goes home, has a family, a woman has to take care of the house and things like that, and then it's the weekend. So whatever shift may occur, very often is undone right in the weekend and with outside activities. Also in northern parts of the country, in summer when the shift worker goes to work, it's light. When the shift worker goes home, it's light. So, and in winter, when he goes to work, it's dark, and when he goes home, it's dark. So it's a disruption in circadian as well as in yearly relationship. But only a very small percentage of permanent shift workers really adapts to the shift.
It's very, very sad.
Now, the problem is that this in trials is that circadian rhythm, the circadian clock, which is consists of a group of about 10 genes that works in a translational transcriptional feedback mechanism to keep time, that this clock interacts with circadian clocks and cell cycle clocks. So in rodents, for example, in animal experiments, about 7% of clock control genes regulate cell proliferation or cell death. Cell death, regulated cell death, is equally important in providing proliferation and tumor formation.
Right.
And the continuous shifting does lead to disruption of cell cycle. And the consequence of this is that in some instances, apparently, tumor can be initiated by DNA damage and by a fault of repair of DNA damage, which is done in the course of the interaction with the cell cycle and also with other factors that participate in shift work and in time regulation, like the hormone of the pineal gland, melatonin,
right,
which is one of the factors which also plays a role in the cancerogenesis. So it's the cell cycle itself that can play a role in this, and the fact that also non-endocrine tumors show an increased growth, experimentally at least, in shift workers, and now probably also in humans, speaks for the importance of this mechanism. Now, concerning the situation in humans with cancer, we have we met in October 2007 in Lyon in France in the World World Health Organization Cancer Institute to review carefully the literature which relates to the incidence of cancer in humans. And especially it was breast cancer that was observed in second-line prostate cancer. And at that time, after a careful review, we came up with the observation that there is limited evidence for carcinogenicity of shift workers that involves night work. That means at that time we had 8 reports on breast cancer, of which 6 were positive and showed an increase in the breast cancer rate in shift workers. 2 were negative, one of which was somewhat poorly designed, and one was truly negative. So it was not clear-cut that we do have an increase, although the majority of reports points to it. Now we have, in the meantime, several additional reports. Some are positive, and one of them was negative, but that was in Asian woman, was done in China. Now the breast cancer in Chinese women, in Asians, is different than the cancer in Caucasians. They have only 1/5 of the breast cancer incidence. And so we have to take in account right. that breast cancer biologically in Chinese is different. So this study, which was sponsored by the NIH, actually from our side, was negative, but that doesn't say too much of what's happening in this country.
Right, right.
Another study in Europe showed that certain forms of breast cancer, the very aggressive triple negative breast cancer, as it's called.
Yeah, HER2, the HER2 breast cancer, right?
HER2 negative. No, that's not HER2, that's triple negative, also HER2 negative.
Right, HER2 negative, right.
Estrogen receptor, progesterone receptor, and HER2 new negative
right.
breast cancer.
Right.
That this tumor is increased in shift workers in contrast to some others that are receptor positive that were negative. So we have to, in our investigation of this, and this has not yet been done in other studies, to look at the type of tumor we are talking about. And that maybe the specific types of breast cancer are more susceptible to this than others. And so in this context, we still have some unpublished or under-in-print results that came up by Dr. Preah Ilyesh at Emory University that shows that this triple-negative breast cancer in a certain percentage has estrogen, has melatonin receptors, and that those cancers that have the melatonin receptor that react to melatonin have a more favorable course and are smaller and less aggressive and have a lesser mortality than those that are negative.
Well, that leads to a question. We have to take a break. And that actually
okay.
leads to a question that I want to pose to you about melatonin supplementation
yes.
in shift workers.
Okay.
We're talking with Dr. Erhard House. He is with the Department of Laboratory Medicine and Pathology at the University of Minnesota. We're talking about how shift work predisposes individuals to cancer. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. A party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah. These three words mean you're getting busy. Whoop, that is hitman. I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein
Barbana ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Erhard Haus about how shift work may predispose individuals to cancer. Dr. Haus, what's that? I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we're cutting into melatonin.
Yeah, here's what I want to say. Whenever we do these kind of shows, there's people out there who have no choice but to work at night. They're trying to keep a roof above their heads and feed children and so on. And the last thing they need is more stress to think that, wow, my job is killing me. But even though that may be the case. And so we want to try to give answers to things that maybe that can be done to either mitigate or minimize some of these, negative effects. Is something as simple as supplementing with melatonin once they're off their shift and they come home, assuming that they can go to sleep for some period of time, can that have a beneficial effect with these individuals?
Now, melatonin has a protective effect against cancer development. Very many factors, a long list of factors plays a role. Interference with estrogen receptor modulation, with hypothalamic estrogen production, estrogen generation from the gonadal axis, aromatase regulation in postmenopausal women, etc. So melatonin is a cancer protector. Now, melatonin is suppressed by light at night, especially by a wavelength around 460, which is outside the visual range, and is depressed in shift workers beyond the day of their shift. So we've studied shift workers that had alternating day shifts and 2 days in between, and we found that melatonin remains suppressed also over a prolonged time span. And Schoenhammer in Boston found that with 4 shifts in a week, melatonin remains suppressed for a prolonged time span. So we have a melatonin suppression in shift workers. And on this basis, Richard Stevens from Connecticut in 1987, formed the melatonin hypothesis that light at night in shift workers leads to an increase in breast cancer. So melatonin action in chronobiology in general is a synchronizer of circadian rhythmicity. It synchronizes, but the synchronization takes a certain length of time, and it's the question to what extent we really want in shift working to achieve a synchronization. So with rapid shifts, there's no chance of a synchronization because simply the time to time adapt to a different shift is longer than the interval between shifts. So with rapidly rotating shifts, the attempt of an adaptation to the shift will not succeed. And in my opinion, and according to some of the experimental material in animals, is not even desirable.
Okay.
So frequent shifts can be damaging. Now, melatonin. With permanent shifts, it's a little different, but I mentioned only a small number of permanent shift workers adapts. So we have the time adapting mechanism of melatonin, and we have a nonspecific sleep promoting mechanism of melatonin. And melatonin is a sleep promoter which acts without any hangover afterwards and without too much side effects. So melatonin can be used by the shift worker as a sleep promoter, and then should be taken approximately a half hour before the desired sleep time, and the doses that has been used varies greatly. The physiologic dose is half to 1 milligram, and the doses used for sleep promotion pharmacologic doses vary frequently of about 3 to 5 milligram. So half an hour before desired sleep time. Now again, this is a non-specific effect and more sleep promotion than time adaptation.
Okay. Now there's another. There was more research just recently published that indicates that when we talk about, for instance, the more aggressive types of breast cancers, HER2 negative, and so on, mm-hmm. that there is a linkage between overproduction of leptin and the suppression of adiponectin as a result of perhaps obesity, but also other hormonal changes that seem to also occur in the shift worker. I think when I looked for preparation for this interview, I saw that the rapidly changing shift worker has disruptions in leptin and adiponectin production. Can you speak briefly about that?
Yes, so also the change in metabolic hormones, which these two are, participates in the development of obesity in the shift workers. Obesity is an inflammatory state that then also affects the development of breast cancer. Other changes you have in hormonal changes you have in shift workers is the suppression of prolactin and of growth hormone, and of course the suppression of melatonin. And all three of these hormones are immunostimulants. And with this you have a change in the immune system, an immune deficiency caused by sleep deprivation with the endocrine changes. Prolactin and melatonin apparently are some of the main culprits in this case. And the depression of the shift system then leads also to a lack in anti-tumor surveillance in the body, and with this allows the tumor to develop and proliferate. So obesity in relation to metabolism is another feature of shift work, and in this case melatonin, leptin, and ghrelin play a role in permitting and favoring shift work. Obesity, induced obesity, which is a frequent finding and which may participate in the favoring of breast cancer especially. So in this case, the immune system is stimulated by melatonin, and that stimulation also is lacking. That's one of the effects of melatonin.
Okay.
Now, melatonin supplementation in permanent shift workers, if one wants to achieve an adaptation, may be helpful if it's given in the evening, half an hour before desired sleeping time, and combined with bright light stimulation in the morning. So the combination of bright light and melatonin can favor circadian synchronization, or if a permanent change in synchronization is desired, it can help in this respect.
Dr. House, it's clear there's such a large body of evidence that shift work predisposes individuals to a variety of diseases that are very, very common in today's society, and especially cancers. With that being said, do you think that we will ever see a cancer classification for shift work the way we see cancer classifications for certain toxic chemicals and so on, that we know that if you're exposed to this, you may develop cancer? And do you think an organization like the World Health Organization someday will say, look, working at night causes cancer? And if so, how will that impact the industrialization of our country?
Well, in Denmark, they're already paying workman's comp to women that have no other risk that has prolonged shift work and develop a breast cancer. So in Europe, this has already reached that point.
Good.
Now, the cancers that are more sensitive, apparently, to sleep deprivation and shift work, face shift, are the endocrine organs, endocrine responsive organs, like the breast and the prostate. But we have now also reports of colon cancer and rectal cancer, endometrial cancer, from Boston, from Dr. Schoenhammer, from the Nurses' Health Study, and now recently also some confirmation of adenoma development in the colon in shift work and from other sources. So there are certain cancers that are more likely, depending on stimulation of produced by shift work, than others. So we can come up with some of that classification. But I mean, beyond that, diseases that are caused by related to shift work in cardiovascular system quite extensively, and recently we have begun to appreciate the epigenetic changes, and that is of importance, I think, also in relation to pregnancy and shift work,
mm-hmm.
because the circadian organization starts in the fetus in intrauterine development, and data show that the reproductive functions are disturbed in shift workers, ranging from disturbances in menstrual cycle to an increased number of spontaneous abortions. And in animal studies, one could show that disruption of the animal's circadian rhythm during pregnancy can be found in the young animals then in later life, and that is apparently due to epigenetic changes which occur during the entire lifetime, and which also have been found by Zhu, for example, in breast cancer in shift workers, and which show a promoter hyperventilations of some of the genes of Clark gene, for example, and hyperventilation of cryptochrome gene. Those are two genes of the circadian clock, and that are also found in women with elevated breast cancer risk. So we have to take in account the epigenetic changes that can occur during a lifetime.
Interesting. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Listen, that half hour went fast, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
I want to thank you very much for taking time to come on the show and talk about this. This is a subject that is very important to the audience. And it really, I hope that business owners, businesses start to realize that while you may have to have a third shift to compete in your industry, the individuals who are taking that job are putting more at risk than just the hours that they put in. working for you. They are putting their health at risk, and that we need to acknowledge that first. What can be done? I don't know. Can companies pay more to shift workers? I don't know. Can they indemnify them? Can they do things to help them avoid disease? Perhaps. But we need to start acknowledging this first so that logical discussions can then occur.
And I think we have to find the least damaging shift schedules for the individual worker. That may vary, may not be all the same because genetic differences in the shift workers and the difference in their need. So in the shift work field, the search for the most favorable shift for a given situation is presently in the foreground of our activities.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. Dr. Erhard Haus, thank you so much for being on the show today, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. All right, and to all of our guests today, we want to give our thanks, starting with Dr. Michael Chopp, who discussed how phosphodiesterase inhibitors like Viagra may actually allow the brain to heal after a stroke. And obviously, I have a belief that these same modalities can also keep the brain youthful and healthy. Dr. Ann Grippo for shedding light on the combination effects of ephedrine, caffeine, and nicotine on the heart. Of course, Dr. Lynette Kraft discussing even physically active women sit too much. And then closing the show with Dr. Haus and how shift work causes cancer. Thank you for listening to Superhuman Radio today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1.